Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 15th of June, recording at 9:11 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly steady, modest gains, though, after Wall Street had retraced its rally yesterday. The European stock markets fared better. They also had a good day yesterday, and they kind of picked up steam as the day went along, starting with modest gains, and partly because Wall Street was in the plus column. And Wall Street basically stayed very steady, and unlike the volatility that we have seen recently, and Wall Street just edged higher pretty well all day long and closed very near the day's highs, with the S&P up 2.35%, up over 25 points. That takes it up to 1115. 2.76 up on the NASDAQ, which is interesting, because that one had lagged, and it's an important one. The transport index, which I looked at, has retraced certainly over half of its decline. So strong action. Long dated government bond prices mostly eased, although I noticed they were a fraction firmer in the UK. The US dollar weakened again, down to 85.93 on the US dollar index. Gold, which has been pretty sluggish recently, is currently up $14 at just over $12.35. So that's interesting. Copper back above the $3 level, up to $3.04. Let's see, coffee strong again. Coffee's been on a bit of a roll recently. White sugar is stronger. I see the unrefined sugar in the U.S. contract just closed down just a fraction. Energy, last but not least, crude oil strong, up to $77. That's up 190. Natural gas is also strong, up to 518. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, back from the brink here in terms of stock markets. I've been pointing out in these broadcasts recently that the stock markets were overextended on the downside. At the beginning of last week, the bearish indications such as rising VIX were a concern. The strength of the bond market at the beginning of last week was also a concern, but all that's reversed. Whereas the bonds have looked more wobbly, probably doing some top development in terms of short-term patterns. The dollar has certainly weakened, whereas it had been strong at the beginning of last week. But that has weakened. Again, stock markets have been pushing up through resistance with some new highs. Where they had been weaker, as in the case of the U.S. indices, pushing back above the 200-day moving averages after breaches which were not serious in terms of those levels. So quite interesting. We are certainly seeing the various different indicators moving in the right direction. Safe haven U.S. dollar, as I say, is softer. Safe haven Treasury bond futures are no longer going up. There's undoubtedly some short covering here and bargain hunting in these stock markets. We have seen some risk appetite come back into the commodity markets in terms of crude oil and also copper. So This looks like it could go on a little further. Now, stock markets have been very unpredictable, except for the day-to-day volatility, except for predicting day-to-day volatility recently. So a lot of indecision, difference of opinion. But the bulls have got the upper hand at the moment. And that's a good thing because it gives us more options. Now, more options are important because stock markets had experienced quite a dramatic correction from their April highs. Not, I guess, all that surprising given the triple waterfall of events that I've discussed so often. And, the Goldman Sachs, the Southern European debt problems. The May 6 meltdown, and then there was China's tighter monetary policy. So I think that's reasonable grounds for an outsized correction, but did it mean the end of the cyclical bull trend, or is it just a big interruption in the cyclical bull trend? Well, that question can't be definitively answered at this stage, but the bulls look like they're buying some time in here. I'm inclined towards an overall bullish outlook, although concerned about the technical damage that had taken place. That still, to me, seems like a recipe for a longer sideways trading range. So we come back up off these lows, don't quite get back to the highs on all stock market indices, see some further sideways ranging activity. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But on a nice optimistic day in here, I must emphasize once again, we really do want to see those recent lows hold. And crucially, the S&P index is by far the most important one globally in terms of sentiment, because if it were to break down going through that 1040 level, that would really be opening up the doors to a bigger correction. I think sentiment would deteriorate quite rapidly, and some of the stock markets that are doing very well at the moment, in terms of getting back closer to their highs or in terms of extending advances into new high ground, they would wilt, I feel, if the S&P went below that 1040 level. Now, I've been talking about that level every day here recently, and it wasn't that far away, but there's a little bit more breathing space here right now with the S&P closing at just above the 1115 level. What's leading the way? Well, fuller money themes, for the most part, look pretty firm in here. The China 8 shares that are the ones that non-Chinese citizens are able to buy. China, incidentally, China's stock market's been closed in the last couple of days, and I'll be very interested to see what happens tomorrow. My guess is that it will rally. But while the H shares and the HSI, the Hang Seng Index, have been moving sideways for a good many months in patterns that definitely have top formation characteristics, lots of patterns have potential top formation characteristics by virtue of those big downside reactions, which is why a strong rally here is so important to buy more time, if not to negate that risk. But I say that China action is steady. India, very steady. And one of the shares that I've mentioned on a number of occasions, Reliance Industries in India, it's the biggest weighting by far, followed by Infosys. Now, Reliance Industries had been just sort of dead neutral, moving sideways, but it's got a pattern that, if it ever started to go, could be quite promising, and it's been doing just that. in the last week has been pushing up, breaking up out of a range within a range. You have to look at the chart yourself here to see what I mean, but it's Reliance Industries, R-E-L-I is the code, space I-N. And given its weighting in the Sensex and Nifty 50, if that breaks out on the upside, you can bet that the two main indices will have broken out on the upside. It's a big diversified oil energy play. Okay. Elsewhere, some of the energy shares I think are looking interesting. One of our analysts, Italian analysts, was pointing out Total, the petroleum company, French petroleum country, nice big fat yield of over 5%, steady price action. So there are some decent yields around, and the whole energy sector had been knocked back a bit, of course, by the BP incident. Now, overall, for the companies not directly affected by BP, and that's most of them, of course, that looks improving here. Crude oil prices are strong once again, and I feel that the one certainty as a consequence of the BP tragic accident in the Gulf of Mexico is that there will be less supply of crude oil than we might have otherwise anticipated. That's not so good for the USA, because that will mean more oil imports for the United States. So that's a dent in their energy self-sufficiency goal. And I think it means that the cost of petroleum and petroleum-related products for the rest of us is going to be higher than it would have otherwise been. But this is not yet a problem, but when we see crude oil up on the $100 level or more, that that will certainly be becoming a headwind. But that's not a problem, as I say, right now. Now, having mentioned that a lot of those chart patterns for stock markets had some top formation characteristics, why am I not more worried about them? Well, I think partly because the correction improved valuations on a lot of shares. Corporate profits have been reasonable, reasonable to good. The China-led economic juggernaut seems very much still on the rails, as does India's economic juggernaut. So the whole Asian region basically is booming without really overheating. There's some inflationary pressure, food prices, for instance, in China. But it still looks like quite an attractive story. That is firming up the resources sectors once again. So that looks good. The yield curve is certainly not a problem. Short-term interest rates are going, I'm talking about the U.S. yield curve, short-term interest rates are going to remain low. Now, it would be unusual to get a bear market without a significant deterioration in the yield curve. Unfortunately, that's not a faultless indicator. There is no such thing as a faultless indicator. For instance, if the U.S. were to slide into a Japan-style deflation, then that positive yield curve would not matter. But that's not the case. That's not the case today. I don't think that's the risk as far as the U.S. economy is concerned right now. Okay. Moving on, because I sense this audio is building up. Precious metals action is favorable here today. And I think gold is signaling that it's going to have another go at that $1,250 level. It's still got the higher reaction lows. And once again, I think we would require a close belief below 1190 to seriously question the prospect for some further gains on the upside. So the pattern's favorable, although gold does face more competition, as I've mentioned. But as I also mentioned yesterday when I bought a little more, that the weaker dollar should be bullish for gold in U.S. dollars, all other things being equal, which they seldom are, he adds with a smile. And other factors. So the U.S. dollar looks to me like it is going to retrace more of its gains in here. Some of those Asian currencies have firmed quite a bit recently. Brazil, which had concerned us in terms of possible top formation characteristics with its break below the 60,000 level, has pushed back up. It's at 64,400 tonight on the close. So it looks like a downside failure there. I mean, basically, risk is back on the table, so-called risk assets, in other words. Confidence has improved here somewhat. I still don't like those Spanish bond yields, which moved higher in here again today. But I think the other markets are signaling that, well, they're not quite so concerned about that as they were previously. Sterling steady, the euro is a bit steadier, and looks like things are calming down here for a while, and as I say, the bulls are back. How long I don't know, but let's enjoy it while it lasts. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.